But we begin in Cairo. Is ISIS trying to take territory in Egypt? A coordinated assault by Islamic State-affiliated terrorists in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula comes 2 days after Egypt's top prosecutor was assassinated in a bombing in Cairo. The Egyptian military has launched airstrikes in the Sinai in response to the attacks. From Cairo is Karim Fahim, Middle East reporter for our partner, The New York Times. He says, once again, the Egyptian government is seen having difficulty with an insurgency that's been growing since the fall of President Mohamed Morsi.
Well, the attack yesterday, at the very least, shows that the government doesn't yet have an answer to this sort of broadening insurgency in the country, despite the fact that it's gone on for nearly 2 years now. They have faced sort of persistent attacks in the Sinai Peninsula from these jihadist groups, and then intermittent attacks that have grown more sophisticated in other parts of the country, including Cairo.
Does ISIS have a base in Cairo on any level? Could it mobilize from within?
I don't think we've seen any evidence that that's true yet. There is a group in the Sinai Peninsula that has affiliated itself with ISIS, but the degree of coordination between the Islamic State group in Iraq and Syria and the Egyptian group is not very well understood at this point. Some people have speculated that the sort of spectacular attack yesterday provided evidence of more coordination between the groups, but the Egyptian group remains fairly well rooted as a domestic militant organization, and hasn't conducted the sort of attacks that we've become used to in Iraq and Syria that have killed sort of civilians en masse.
Remind us, Karim, the unique nature of the Sinai Peninsula, how sparsely populated it is, but yet it is a symbolic territory that relates to Gaza, Hamas, a number of constituencies.
Yeah, as you said, it is sparsely populated. You know, this insurgency has been rooted in the northern Sinai Peninsula, but I think more importantly than the connection to Gaza for some of the towns along the border area has been very important, and their sort of familial ties across the border. And had been sort of economic ties over the last couple of years because of the smuggling tunnels. But I think more importantly, it is an area that has been marginalized by the central government for a very long time. There is a deeply woven sense of discontent there. And the sort of current military operations have only deepened that sense. You know, we know very little about the war in the Sinai. It's very, the government has made it very hard for journalists to visit there. And so the long-term concern is that this sort of historical feeling of marginalization is only growing worse in the area.
So Karim, if ISIS were to manage to plant a flag in the Sinai and be difficult to dislodge, the Egyptian government could easily keep the world from seeing that just by containing Sinai in the way that they've done, as you described.
I suppose that's true, but these attacks, which have occurred at regular intervals, have been very hard to hide. They have killed dozens of soldiers at a time, every sort of 6 months or so, and there are families of these soldiers. There are funerals to be held. This isn't something you can just sort of sweep under the rug. I mean, I think what is much less well understood is the impact on the towns in the Sinai, on civilians in the Sinai, and the exact nature of the way the Egyptian government is conducting this war.
Karim Fahim from Cairo, Egypt, Middle East reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Karim.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.